Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 17th, 2019. It's 9 a.m. and we're in the Board of County Commissioners conference room for our administrative workshop. Commissioner Fowler is on assignment. Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan are present. First up on our agenda is department business from the Sheriff's Office and a modification number 4 of the agreement 16LE11031000013 between the Josephine County Sheriff's Office and the U.S. Forest Service for patrol activities. We have Ruth here from the Sheriff's Office. And good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is just a renewal of the contract that we already have with the Forest Service. It's for a seasonal position, 6 months during the summer months, for reimbursement up to $70,000. No changes.
How much does it actually cost us? Oh, go ahead.
I was wondering what the modification is. It never did say, read the whole thing and it never did say what the original was, or is this like an addendum to their contract?
It's just a renewal.
So yeah. The modification is it extends a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do have this position budgeted for the whole year. We've covered with the rest of our budget. So far, we've been able to use Forest Service funds even in this off season because it rolls over from year to year. Last fiscal year, we received some additional money that added to our pot of money. And whenever the deputy is on fire assignments, that comes out of a different source.
Right.
So we've been able to continue to pay for
it. And you track his mileage and everything? Because mm-hmm. they pay mileage, is that above mm-hmm. and beyond the 70 or is that out of the 70?
That's out of the 70.
Well, it wouldn't take long to crank up $70,000 worth of mm-hmm. mileage at 70 cents a mile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far we've come under the 70,000.
Okay. And they provide your truck, we provide the truck?
We provide the truck.
And they're just paying for the deputy and the gas and mm-hmm. any overtime. And then it's also said in there that he's supposed to respond when the Forest Service says jump. And mm-hmm. do we track those hours when that happens? Mm-hmm. Do they pay extra on that? Do they say, okay, we're going to... the fire season, and boy, you've got to be mm-hmm. here and there and everything else. Then do we keep track of that and then bill them for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then we bill those hours separately.
And all right.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't come out of our contract.
Okay.
Who is our first deputy?
Rary.
Okay. Any issues?
Nope, I have no problem with that.
I think it's budgeted, so I think we're able to move it on to just consent calendar next year.
I think consent would be just good.
Okay.
Piece of cake place for that.
Great.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tell the sheriff hello for me.
Next up, we have financial report and business update. And somebody who promised he wouldn't have a 3-inch pile, but apparently... Just kidding.
Just a few things I wanted. Good morning, Commissioners. Arthur O'Hara, Finance Director. And truth be told, I don't have anything that requires board review or approval to bring to you this morning. So two things that came to mind. One is to just bring a couple of dates and times and meetings to your attention, things that you've probably already heard, and then if you have any questions about any projects that I'm working on. But first couple of things, we are moving into our budget season, and so one of the couple issues is the budget committee. I heard back from Jim Brumback, and Jim is interested in another term. It would be his third 3-year term, which according to our internal policies, that would be the limit of serving on the budget committee is 3 consecutive 3-year terms. I have not heard back from Steve Welch yet. I was just giving him more time to, I guess ponder and think and respond. His term is up this.
And he's on his first term.
He's on his first term. So this would be a second term, second three years. So I have not heard back from him yet, but I'll pursue that. But then the third person, of course, is Karen Bodevin.
She just restarted.
One year, yeah. She's in her second year of the first term.
If Steve Welch decides not to do that? Do we take applications then?
Well, last year we...
Like we do on every other...
With Karen, last year we did take applications last year, so we have several people that have expressed interest already that we have in the file. I mean, it's up to the board. The board could open it up brand new, or we could just look at the existing applications that we have, and there are a couple few people there that were, you know, strong contenders.
Can somebody serve on both panels, city and county?
Yes, there's
at
no
the same time.
There's no restriction on that. Okay. So,
our staff looked into why we are advertising an alternate opening.
Yeah, why is that?
Because in 2005, the board issued an order creating an alternate position.
That is correct. I have that
order. And we don't have anything rescinding it.
Okay. I sent that to legal last week after you mentioned that, and told him we need to follow up on that and rescind it. His recollection and mine both is that we thought we addressed this a couple years ago, but he's going to look into it to see what's in his file, and we'll take it from there. But again, there's no provision in Oregon budget law to have an alternate, or at least an alternate with any responsibility or authority at all. So meaning that if somebody didn't show up for a particular budget meeting, there's no provision in budget law to say we can get another party and put them in there, and they become the, you know, proxy for the budget committee member. So there's nothing that would allow for that.
I think an alternate would be used if for some reason that person was not going to be here for the whole budget cycle, for all three meetings, then and said, I'm not going to be here, I can't be here, you know, my extenuating circumstance, then the alternate would just fill in for the whole budget.
Well, I think the alternate would have to be appointed
process.
To the budget committee, so the other person would have to be removed from the committee, and the alternate would have to be appointed as the budget committee member.
Okay.
That's the way I see how that works. So budgets are we are compiling. Typically, what we do is we wait for the final payroll in January in order to get a up-to-date payroll information with any cost of living or any changes or new positions or whatever happens typically on January 1st, and we'll get that information out to the departments and start working on budgets beginning next month. I've talked to the auditors, and we have our financial statements finalized, of course, the last few weeks ago, January 30th. I would like to schedule them to do a brief presentation at the weekly business session, so just to go over both the standard countywide financial audit and also the levy specific, the jail and detention levy specific.
Is that information going to be available ahead of time so that certain members of the public can look it over?
Well, at least 24 hours.
Okay.
It's up to you. It's up to the board how soon you would like, but I can request. I'm not sure exactly what her presentation will be, so I can certainly request that as soon as possible if you would like.
Commissioner.
On which one?
On whether how soon, when should those results be made to the public? Before the meeting. If he's going to have a presentation by the auditor at the January 30th meeting, when would that information be available to the public? Because we're going to have
the audit information is already available.
Okay.
It's already
published
on our website. But the presentation itself, and that's where I made
the information's available. Whatever his or her
staff
presentation
just needs
is
to get you scheduled on a weekly business session. They could be here.
Right, which is January 30th. Talking with the auditor, what's their schedule, and so January 30th.
As long as the information, if we notice that, just like regular, that there's going to be a presentation.
Right.
But the information's already on the thing.
Right. Our audit and our financials are already.
Well, you put that on there.
Sorry,
I tried to find the information and couldn't find it. It's already.
And I got the two of them crosswired in my head. The presentation, typically, we don't have that.
Not a requirement.
It's not required. It's not part of the packet of information that's, you know, 24 hours ahead of time, because it's a presentation. It's not a, you know, contract or a, something of that nature that would be there ahead of time. So, but the financial audit and reviews are already on the website.
Okay.
And have been for a while, several weeks. And then we also talked about a mid-year review, and so I just wanted to let you know that that's, I'm putting that together, and that should be in a couple more weeks. I'll have that put together, and I think the board indicated like on a Monday for a couple hour block to put together and to present a financial review. So.
Well, we wanted several. We wanted it to be an ongoing discussion starting soon. However, next Monday is a holiday, so maybe
right.
The Monday after we can get going. And good morning, Ms. Lasky.
Good morning. You in a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I won't interrupt.
But I thought
I don't sit here willingly. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Pardon me.
I thought our intent was to have multiple conversations to get us all on board, up to speed. So I don't necessarily, I mean, I don't know how formal a presentation you're creating, but the intent
okay.
was that as you're going over this with Commissioner Fowler and bringing him up to speed, that we're also there
okay.
making sure we're getting the same information.
Well, that would be fine with me. I have no...
That's not what you heard in our last conversation.
That's not what I heard.
Okay.
I would, because I think a little bit at a time is easier to digest and easier to process rather than a two-hour, you know, presentation of just riveting accounting information.
We said
I can
to
do
set
that.
Aside up to 2 hours for a conversation, that
mm-hmm.
we're talking about it, whatever you're bringing him up, that we're dialoguing about it as we're... But it, I mean, 2 hours wasn't some set in stone number. It was just.
You don't have to use it all 2 hours.
Right, right. I just took that as being, you know, we want to be a comprehensive from, you know, general fund all the way through to the end of the whole packet, versus we'll talk about general fund today, and that'll be it. And then we'll talk about.
I think I'd rather take it in small chunks, but I think our concern, and I know this is mine anyway, is that we've had. Coming to the end of 2018, we all of a sudden find that we have overspent the allocated money. And I'll just use the Cave Junction building,
mm-hmm.
sale of the building out there. You know, we're going to do this. We made our promise to Cave Junction what we were going to do, but then we just keep, they keep adding projects and we keep adding, yeah, that's it. Yeah, we'll find the money for that, and so on and so forth. We've made some promises that are far exceeded the amount of money that was in that account, and
yeah.
I think there's other...
And now there's pressures to spend more.
Yes, and there, that's not the only one, you know, there's other things
yeah.
that we have received money for and decided we were going to allocate. I'm still not sure where all the fire funding is going to come from. We've told Larry that he's got $100,000 coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
For that fire suppression system out there. Now, I know they finally decided what the fire suppression system is going to look like, and that's great. Finally, we've got them, the board out there to panel it, to nail that down finally after all these years. But now, I don't know where all that money's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know that that's been finalized or decided.
Well, because it was going to come out.
It was. It has been decided.
Yeah, well, $100,000 was going to come out of the building
twice,
fund.
And it
yes.
keeps getting changed. That it was going to be economic development.
Then
oh,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
going to
be
the
building
sold. And then,
yeah.
oh no, economic development hasn't spent their money. Let's do that again. Oh no,
yes,
things
that,
have been
that,
decided,
that,
well,
but they're not held to.
The $100,000. What I'm saying is that the project itself, and I'm not sure the final numbers.
I haven't
is more than $100,000.
It is.
And,
well,
and that's the question that I have. So where we've got some money set aside, but where's the rest of it?
I want to get sit Larry in the room and say, okay,
yeah.
what is your vision of this thing? Because
mm-hmm.
there's $250,000 coming from Regional Solutions, MARTA.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm assuming there's a match, and maybe the 100,000 is going to be used for the match. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, that's why I want to sit down with Larry. So
I think the project.
And he was out yesterday. I tried to reach him yesterday, but he was down. Not in yesterday. So.
But I'll refer back. I know Commissioner Morgan and I have talked and had some email back and forth regarding, you know, the goal setting. And in my mind, anyway, part of that is capital planning, and I think this illustrates the need for us to sit down and have a more formal approach to what is out there, what kind of capital needs are pending, what kind of projects maybe are already in the works, where's the money coming from, what's our cash flow looking like. I think there's a need for a more
formal approach. Well, I do, and I think after last night's letter to the editor, I think we need to become the professional part of government in the valley and be forthcoming as to what we have in the works and where mm-hmm. that money's coming from, mm-hmm. that we're not looking for, boy, look out, we're going to add this fee, that fee, this fee, that fee, this fee, that fee in order to cover all of our wish list.
Right.
Because the letter last night to the editor of the paper was just scathing about the city and their annex as to what's going on.
Well, I don't
believe
that
about the county, but I think we need to be on the front side of that, saying this, you know, we're full disclosure.
Right.
These are the projects we have going, and nail it all down as to how that project at the airport is going to move forward and where the money's going to come from, right. And that we already have the money from Regional Solutions and so on and so forth. But they have, you know, and I'll use Allen Creek Road as an example. They have no clue what the scope of work on that is. None. So, anyway.
Well, I think in our case, you know, limited to our financial situation, I think we've got a fairly strong mm-hmm. Balance in both general fund and in our reserve funds, and I don't believe we have any formal obligation that would overextend those funds.
No, we don't have a water treatment plant or something like that.
Right. I mean, there's discussion about various and sundry projects, but those funding dollars are not 100% dedicated from, because like you said, we've got Regional Solutions, Business Oregon, you know, where grants and funding would come from those different places. So at least at this point in time, I'm not aware of any project that has committed more than what we are able to finance within our existing funding structure. So if that gives you any comfort, I don't know.
Should I go to like the Tamara out in Fair and say, okay, there's so many different things flying around about here, about the arena being built, the roof on the arena, mm-hmm. and RFPs and blah, 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 blah. And we need to probably nail that down as to where all that money's coming from.
Well, they're working on their master plan and their project list, which is a good thing. But I feel we need to have a more centralized, focused project that says, this is our capital plan, and I'm touching bases with all of our program managers and directors. And it could come right off of the master plan from the fairgrounds for the fair, you know, the master plan for the airports for the airport folks.
Well, both of those are in limbo right now, because they're both getting together.
They're working
on the master plans.
Right. But I think it needs to be a little more formal, because we've got, I mean, you know, we can list off the projects that we're future looking at, you know, projects out at the jail, projects with the Justice Building here, with the Dimmick campus. So there's a lot of projects
there's a lot of potential out there.
Yeah.
I mean, even just me trying to find out how much the radio costs are going to be for the sheriff's office.
Yes, I mean, that's a...
And, you know, it's like we knew it was on the horizon, but seeing what happened in December in dispatch is like, okay, this is now higher
priority. The horizon
priority.
Has come.
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah, came up to meet us, so.
But you're never going to run, and you're never going to outrun that.
No.
You can put in the state of the art, and then find out, that 6 months later, oh, that's old stuff. Yeah. Our world is moving so fast that as soon as you buy the phone, it's outdated. Kids are running around with something that does 10 times what your phone just did.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes with our dispatch system. As soon as we get it up to what we think is state of the art, Art left.
We're not looking for state of the art. We're looking for stable for a long time.
Stable for a long time sounds better.
So we have a system that was there for over 25 years. It's just not supported anymore.
No, and that's...
They raided literally other departments that had got rid of stuff. They raided computer systems that are, I mean, they literally scoured Southern Oregon.
Cities, haven't they? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brookings provided a console. They had just replaced their radio system, but there was only one usable available. Then IT had to try to scour old format computers that could take the software for a different console. And as much as they scoured to get that, if another one goes down, I'm not sure where they get the parts at this point. I mean, they're going to try to do more, but there's not equipment for it anymore.
I would suggest that we should get sheriff or whoever's involved in that dispatch, plus our
IT
director.
I've already reached out for emails with IT and the sheriff,
yeah.
Because the board had asked me to coordinate that last year.
Right, to coordinate and figure out what's
the best
solution.
And I've already emailed them, and just now we're all just trying to coordinate our schedules.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think that would be a great idea, because we want something, like you said, is stable. We're looking for a more stable approach to that project.
To be specific,
that's it.
Let's see. My email to them was, the BCC asked me to convene a meeting and follow up with communication needs in regard to dispatch services in relation to the Grants Pass Department of Public Safety relocating towards the end of 2019. What will be the impact on our infrastructure of the city moving out? Do we look at best options for dispatch and either A, staying put, B, moving to the city's new location, or C, contracting out dispatch services? What equipment do we need regardless of the city moving? We should also look at the infrastructure needs of the county and city in having EOCs, Emergency Operations Centers, and also the impact on radio towers and equipment needs there. I hope is that we can identify what our needs are, then we can make a plan and find the funding to complete the tasks.
Are there independent contractors, or you just say, hey, come and take this whole mess over and do it?
Yes. But that doesn't mean the equipment's there to do it easily.
Or service.
There are independent dispatch centers, including one in Jackson County, has a dispatch center that's outside of the police and sheriff's office. Up in the Portland area, there's one that's a kind of a separate dispatch that dispatches for a whole region, but they're not under sheriff or police. They just dispatch for all of them.
Right.
They still fall
under
government. But
that's up to them to keep up with state-of-the-art equipment.
Correct. But we have to have the means of the towers to get our transmissions to them, and that's the piece we don't have in place right now. We're going to look at it all. We're going to look at what's the best option.
I'm glad to see the independent contractor element in there.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see
it wouldn't hurt. So that was me saying contracting out dispatch.
Right.
That's finding out, is there other people that would dispatch?
Right.
That, you know. But anyhow, they both said those seem to be the right questions, and let's meet.
Neat. Good. One more thing, just a FYI. I did talk with our intrepid courier reporter. He asked about the PERS litigation or the impact of that. And we have a memo from PERS, you know, a couple years ago that said that the impact on our rate is about 1.77%. So that's the information I gave him. That works out to about $100,000 a year. And if you think about a $2 million transitional liability over a 20-year amortization, it works out to about $100,000 a year. So it all ties back. So that will probably be in the newspaper at some point in time.
I would recommend when we have executive session topics as such that before we go and answer questions like that, we refer to legal.
I did send it to legal. But,
I mean, before answering, for the sake that we're still in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And so, and who knows if that's still the answer, but it's one of those things that there's a nice push to let's go interview everybody after executive session and see if we can just report on everything of the executive session.
You know, you're right on that. There is that a strategy.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a public memo, but from Perks, but whatever, I'll.
When the reporter writes a story, it may be perfectly factual.
Yeah.
But all that is for the folks down there in the block building downtown with all the glass blocks in the front of it, is their opportunity to write a headline. And we can't control that headline. That's all they're interested in, is the headline. County on the hook for $2.35 million in Perks. County's not on the hook for anything. We're in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
Although I didn't say that.
DeYoung pleads guilty to child abuse. DeYoung alters oath of office. So all they're after is that headline that puts a negative spin on county or city or anybody that is trying to do a good thing around here. They're going to try to ruin them. And I don't like that periodical because of that.
Right.
That
yeah.
Rag. But there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Well, there is. We'd be forthcoming with information to the public directly from us that we're providing the information, and we need to utilize our new PIO better to get our story out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not waiting for somebody else to come up with a headline to twist.
Yeah, but it still doesn't matter what the story content of the story is. They have.
I don't disagree.
They write the headlines, and we can't stop that.
We can get our own messaging out through other sources.
Yeah.
And you are. I mean, through the Facebook.
Facebook, yeah, that's where we need to get it out.
Well, I see it.
By the way, I'm dropping off of Facebook. I'm going to close my Facebook account. I can't respond to anything yep. without getting just murdered, so I'm just not going to.
You wouldn't be the only one who's done that, so.
So I'm just, it's outlived its usefulness for me, and my room on the dance floor is limited now at my age, so therefore, I'm not going to waste any more time on that phone.
Focus.
I don't care what they say about me. So don't try to friend me anymore.
I've been working on it, but it just hasn't happened. I just got to stop my snide comments on your.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's all I.
Anything else you have?
No, that is
Mr. Arthur?
Everything I wanted to bring forward.
I have nothing further for Arthur.
And I emailed you.
Okay. Yes.
And Wally said he'd get it in a personal service contract.
Oh, good. Good.
So I missed that he mailed it last Friday, and I didn't see it in my. I sent you one. I'm like, what? Sure enough, I have an unread message and somehow missed it on Friday.
Well, I think I've got a question.
Sure.
How much is travel pay?
We tie our travel to the GSA. So what their per diem amounts for meals.
Miles.
It's
travel
and mileage.
Miles.
Mileage is based on the IRS rate. They just upped it, I think, on January 1st. And I think the rate is somewhere in the 55 cent. I can't remember. They usually tweak it a half a cent
up and
down.
Where does the Forest Service get their rate at 70 cents a mile?
In a contract, you can put whatever rate you want.
So we can also amend it in the contract if we choose
to. Yes. Right. So our rate internally for our reimbursement to employees and staff is IRS rate, which is, like I said, it's.
But getting reimbursed
cents.
At 70 cents a mile from the Forest Service?
70 cents a mile.
I know. Our rate is 58.
Right.
So why are they reimbursing over what they're
because
required
maybe,
to?
I think you just said that because that was the contract.
Yeah.
Was 70 cents can be anywhere. Maybe they do that. Maybe nationally they use, the Forest Service uses 70 cents.
It might be. It could be rough roads. You know, they're traveling on gravel. It's
a gravel
higher.
Gravel is higher tires.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But they're giving us, right? I mean,
no,
this is the contract. The money that they're.
We.
So charge them a buck a mile, I think. Don't limit it to 70.
Well, if you want to know what it costs to run a vehicle, it used to be a dollar a mile about 20 years ago. When you included insurance and everything else on it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I used to use as a dollar a mile, you know, to figure out what overhead on a truck was.
Yeah, charge rate. Especially if you've got equipment and things on there, too. So.
Okay. The only question I had.
Alrighty. That it?
Thank you, sir. Next on our agenda is board business. We have resolution number 2019-002 in the matter of appointment of Special Transportation Advisory Committee. And it appears that the person that we are appointing is Mary Claire Highfield.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Yep.
Okay, so move on to next week.
Yep.
And then I had two that I had moved forward that I'm asking to be item number B, 3B, Resolution 2019-003 in the matter of appointments to Josephine County Mental Health Advisory Board. I'm going to ask that we hold off. Per the bylaws, the Mental Health Advisory Board evaluates and makes a recommendation to us on membership. And so before we move
forward. And they haven't done that yet?
No, I didn't realize that was in the bylaws. And so this is part of what I asked at our staff meeting on Tuesday, is making sure that each of the committees and our bylaws were following. So
and we'll correct that.
We will hold off on that, but I do have a item 3C, matters from commissioners. I do have a couple other things. One of them is a resolution 2019-014. We've been trying for 2 years to get a physician from the emergency department on our emergency medical services board, and it got dropped off last night. Dr. Giesen, who is emergency room physician, and I asked that they bring that forward, that we can also move that to next weekly business session.
Sure.
So he's been attending the meetings but didn't have an application.
I think you've mentioned that before.
Correct, and it's been something we've been, but we finally got an application last night. So, and then there was, I don't know if you were aware that we sent several people down to the campfire for, I want to say it was 9 days. They stayed in tents, slept on cots, worked 19-hour days, and helping with the animal stuff down there. We had a couple of volunteers from the Rogue Valley Humane Society, and then several staff go. I wanted to recognize them with certificates of appreciation for, you know, yeah, they, our folks got paid, but it's still a, not a normal assignment, essentially. And the volunteers don't want to be recognized anyway. They felt that the recognition they got being there and just the experience was worth it, that they didn't want to do that. But our staff are all available, but I want to make sure that's something that you would want us to go forward with.
I just want to make sure next time I go deer hunting in Little Oahe, because I stay in a tent, sleep on the ground, I'm up all night.
You want a certificate when you
like
come back with that?
I'd like a certificate when I come back.
Yeah, all right.
Appreciates me for going over there.
Only if you get a 6-point.
Yeah. You have to be successful in the hunt, though, to get a tent for recognition.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would never happen.
Any other matters from commissioners?
And pay for my slaughterhouse fees and all that for the big deer problem. No, I'm fine. I don't have any other matters. I did receive an email from Letha of the Public Utilities Commissioner with their bone, I think is what PPNL is throwing to the whole thing to try to keep us from eating a whole cow. It's crazy.
Being that we're in the middle of litigation.
We're not allowed to talk about it, but it's just,
I
put it this way, I find their response humorous. But Letha reached out to me, she says, Commissioner DeYoung, I know you have opinions on things, so please call me if you want to. I'm going to talk to Wally before I call her, because I don't think I should call her. Probably at where we're at this stage of the game, I think it'd be best to stay away from that and go from there. But it was interesting.
You have opinions? What?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, oh, my goodness. This is what, oh, it just solidifies everything I thought about them all along, but that's okay. So I just let you know I did receive an email from Letha at the Public Utility Commission.
Cool. So we've had two guests join us. Director of Library Services, Kate Lasky.
Yeah.
Did you need to join us?
I have a question.
You want to come up here?
Well, step up and take a seat.
Sure,
I'm taking you in order since she's been here for 2 minutes.
I have nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to see you, though.
You're just roaming the halls.
Yes, I have a question for you both. I need a county liaison to the library. And I did ask you if you would do it, and then recently found out that Mr. DeYoung, you're overseeing building operation and maintenance. So I just want to put it on the table that that's most of our issues that I need to address with commissioners is with building operations and maintenance. And they're not necessarily issues, they're just projects, things that really relate more to Glenda and Ryan. And so I don't know if it would be
sure call.
More.
We want you to have whatever's best for your needs.
Best
thank
for you.
You. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've got stuff already.
If it's a better fit, then I'll be glad to take it.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Yeah. And so can I bring my issues to you directly off the table here?
Yep, you sure can.
Thank you, Lily.
No problem.
Okay.
And even if not, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you both.
All righty. Anything else for the good of the order?
Nope. Not at all.
Seeing none, we are...
Busy next week, I'm going to be in...
Didn't he just say none? I'm just saying. Okay.
Curry County. Well, I'm going to be in Curry County next Wednesday.
Cool.
All day. And then the following Wednesday or Thursday, I think I'll be in Coos County making presentations to their boards. Jason and I are working on our county commissioner corner thing that we're going to send out to all legislators prior to this year's session. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do a little end run around a lot of things. We've got a lot of things going on up in Salem, and it's going to be exciting. So.
Are you planning on staying in Salem that week in February? That AOC day is on Monday. The next day is the county day at the Capitol.
I think I've kind of planned on that, yes.
Yesterday, AOC sent out an email to register for county day at the Capitol.
Okay, well, I was going through my emails when I was interrupted by a 9 a.m. meeting.
I understand, so but I wanted to point that one out to you because they specifically have a section there that you can say, are there any legislators you'd like to have a chance to speak with? My experience with that is they have you go stand outside the chambers and they run in messages and they pull them off the floor and they come out and you got 30 seconds to give your spiel. You also can make appointments to go meet people in their offices during that day, but as far as that day, they're literally pulling people off the floor, that the buzzers are going, they're calling back in to meet.
Rob Bovet and I are doing that. He is setting up appointments for the key legislators he thinks I need to talk to. So I will be spending quite a bit of time up in the Salem area over the next 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
So, but it's all going to be time well spent, I feel.
Yep. So seeing no other business... We're adjourned at 9:37.